The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome to another award-winning version, episode, whatever you want to call it. We call it a show around here. Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter. The Rossbridge Animal Hospital, of course, right there on Facebook at 2080301 out there in the beautiful Rossbridge area. Doc, how you doing, brother? How's things going?
It's going great, man.
Fantastic.
Happy to be here on the Dark Side.
The show's always brought to you by Ed's Pet World right down there in beautiful Homewood, 879-1331. They deal in exotic pets. I was down there a couple weeks ago. I got my entire aquarium outfitted again. I did a water change. Got every type of fish I wanted, including a beautiful rope fish. Of course, you got chinchillas and ferrets and tarantulas and giant frogs and rabbits. We're getting ready for Easter, and they got snakes. I mean, they got everything down there. Plus, Seth has got his toy closet down there. About half the business is toys now. He deals in collectibles, unboxed stuff. You got some stuff up in your attic. He buys, sells, and trades. And he's got some very important news coming up that we'll be dropping here on Dark Side of the Pooch here in the next couple of weeks. Got a lot to get into today. We're going to be talking about... who gets pets in a divorce? Remember we had an email question last week about pet attorneys?
Yeah, I remember.
I've got a follow-up to that question. It was an article that came out yesterday. February is National Pet Dental Health Month, so I'm going to talk about that. Pettable has come out with their top five states to own a dog. Alabama is in the mix there. And also Guardian Magazine. You ever read Guardian Magazine?
I've seen some other stuff. Like I've never read the actual magazine, but I see... articles that are pushed out by them.
It's a really interesting magazine because they write just about everything. They wrote an article yesterday about why no one should own a pet. And I want to read a couple of paragraphs for you. It's just an amazing story. But first, I want to ask you if you, and I saw this last night, I was like, I've got to ask Dr. Rab about this. Have you seen the commercial for Treco windshield wipers? It's a guy driving in a car, and they said, you know, if it ever rains cats and dogs, you want to make sure you get the right windshield wiper. And all these cats and dogs start falling from the sky. Have you seen that commercial?
I have not seen that.
Right, so they have live animals, cats and dogs falling from the sky like rain landing on the vehicles. And I'm like, man, PETA would have just a field day with this. And at the bottom of the screen, it says, no dogs or cats were harmed in the making of this commercial. All animals were petted. And I was like, does petted mean something that I don't, because I think of pet, I think about stroking my dog's back or his tummy or his chin. And so I looked up animals being petted, and it's exactly what it means. It means that all these animals were petted in the making of this particular TV commercial. And I don't think it was meant to be funny. I think they were being serious. And I just thought it was really, really funny.
I mean, surely there is some type of CGI going on there. They're not actually dumping live animals from some height.
No, I wouldn't think. And it's, that's the beautiful thing about computer animation, but it's a pretty funny commercial. All right, let's get into it here. info@tonycurryradio.net. We got some great email questions that I want to get to a little bit later on the show. But we had an email last week, I forget who wrote it, that asked if Dr. Rab knew a good pet attorney. I know you've spoken several times about couples who come into your office. They may not be getting together particularly well. You're not a marriage counselor, and you don't know if they're getting a divorce, they're separated, but they do have ownership of a particular animal. One seems to be taking more interest in the survival of a particular animal. So I thought this was interesting. This came down yesterday. When Tennessee couples divorce, current law dictates that custody of the family pet is treated pretty much the same as ownership of a living room couch or any other piece of property. But two state lawmakers yesterday are seeking to change that with new legislation that would allow a judge to determine the pet custody based on what's in the best interest for the well-being of a pet. Representative Caleb Hemmer, a National Democrat, tells Axios he tackled the issue because custody of a pet can be a deeply emotional issue. He says for many people, pets are like family members and even cared for like children. It only makes sense for courts to treat them the same way. Is this a good idea or a bad idea coming from a veterinarian?
Well, at first, at first blush here, I would say that I would support this mainly because sometimes in a marriage, there is one person who spends more time caring for the dog,
yes,
and caring about the dog than, you know, the other person. And I've, you know, I think that sometimes when people do have to go through this in their life, it's something that people try to get leverage over the other person.
They do.
And, you know, to try to, you know, try to harm them.
Yeah.
And I would hate for a pet to be used as leverage and end up, you know, going to stay with one of the, you know, significant others that doesn't care as much about the pet.
Yeah. Having gone through a divorce myself, if I have to come up with any more documentation on how many times I've picked up poop or how many times I've fed my dog, I think my head would explode.
I'm sure.
I love my dogs as much as anything, but if it means an extra $1,200 or $1,300 to my attorney to talk about it in court, I'm good.
I think probably like in most cases, I would bet, not all cases, but I would bet in most cases that the one person would say, look, you love the dog more. I don't really care about the dog. I don't really care about the cat. Yeah. And so I'm just going to let you can have it.
Yeah, I would think so. Maybe they should have a law that married couples should stay married through the length of a dog's life, because dogs only live, dogs only live 10 to 14 years. That's pretty much of a bummer, man. We have to talk about this in court because we can't stay married for 10 to 14 years. And normally you're getting an animal too that's already coming into the relationship. So it's already 3 or 4 years of age. We still can't make it to the end of that. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net, brought to you by Ed's Pet World, 879-1331. He's Dr. Rab Stewart from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. All right, February is National Pet Dental Health Month. I grew up having dogs my entire life. The minute we lost one, we'd have one the next day. We never brushed their teeth, and they seemed like they were fine to me. But I know this is a new kind of thing, and I know a lot of people do. And I think you may have spoke about it last week or the week before, how important it is for our animals to have their teeth cleaned. Can you kind of go through that again and why it's so important and why we have an entire month dedicated to dental health of our dogs and cats?
It is really important, and it's been probably within the last 15 to 20 years, I think that we know how important it is. Most pet owners are not brushing their dog's teeth, and I'm not going to bash anybody for not doing that, because I mean, most dogs will not allow that to happen. A dog is not going to be still. It's hard enough to, you know, brush a 4-year-old's teeth. It's a, you know, the person, or have your, you know, your 10-year-old brush his own teeth. You know, I'm speaking from experience here. So they have horrible dental health. And so this tartar and calculus builds up on their teeth, and then bacteria live in that. And that's just the brown stuff that you see on their teeth. And then that bacteria gets up underneath the gum line, and it causes infection underneath the gum line. And then that causes periodontal disease. And that can lead to not only infections and abscesses throughout the mouth and the sinuses, but also with other areas of the body. For whatever reason, the bacteria that live in this tartar, they have an affinity to go to the heart valves. And so that can cause heart problems, of course. And that causes irreversible damage to the heart in most cases. So I think that obviously there has been, like I said, for the past 15 or 20 years, a growing, you know, knowledge of pet dental health and education as to how to take care of our pet's teeth. But, you know, you do kind of get some pushback, because it's not, it's not exactly the same way caring for a dog's teeth as a person's teeth. When we clean a dog or cat's teeth, they do have to be sedated, because they obviously are not going to just lay there with their mouth open, because what we do with a dog or cat's teeth is basically the same thing that we have done with our teeth when we go to the dentist. And as everyone listening knows, hopefully, you know, cause that would mean you have gone to the dentist, that it's uncomfortable. You know, it's not, you know, when they're checking your pocket depth, that's not, a super pleasant thing to have done.
Yep.
So people say, well, I don't really understand. We have to sedate my dog to, you know, do dental work on it. And my first response is, really? You don't understand how that could be necessary? So, you know, you do get a little bit of pushback from that. And then, you also get people say, well, it's a dog, you know. And you know, I get it. I understand that. And there are people out there that, you know, fall on that side of the fence. But what we try to tell people is, if you want your dog to live as long and as happy of a life, or cat, as they can, then you know, you need to be having their teeth cleaned at least once a year in most cases.
Is it only a matter of time before your dog starts running the toothbrush under the faucet and says he actually brushed his teeth, but he didn't?
Exactly.
Speaking of pocket death, what are we talking about? If you do it once a year, what's it cost?
Let's
assume they've already had their teeth done once. Okay, we're not taking off the heavy stuff, because I'm sure it'd be hell right off the bat if you never had your dog's teeth brushed and they're 12 years old. But let's say they've already had them done once. Like every year, what would it cost?
There's always going to be a range depending on the practice that you go to. Yep. Okay. And there's always going to be a range depending on if you run blood work beforehand to be sure that we don't need to address anything else before, during, or after the cleaning. So, I mean, you're at a minimum, you're probably going to be looking at anywhere between $200 to $400, you know, depending on the practice that you go to have mm-hmm. it done.
Do dogs have baby teeth? Do they have teeth that come out, or cats?
Yeah, they have baby teeth, and they usually start to lose them around 12 weeks of age. But that varies, and they're usually have all their adult teeth by, you know, they're 5 or 6 months old.
Have you ever put a string around a doorknob and attached it to one of your dog's teeth?
I've not, but I've taken a lot of baby teeth out.
Yeah, I have. I think my daughter's lost like 23 baby teeth. I'm starting to get worried. The tooth fairy's running out of cash. This is Dark Side of the Pooch with Dr. Rab Stewart at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Their number is 205-208-0301 at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter and the Rossbridge Animal Hospital right there on Facebook. Check them out. They're the best. Petable has come out with their top 6 states to own a dog. Really no story here. I just wanted to ask you if you can name the top 6 states in the United States that is the best states, and this is based on a plethora. We did something like this a couple of months ago, and it was a totally different list, but I'm bringing this one up because Alabama's number 6. Can you give me the top 5?
Oregon.
No.
Washington State.
No.
Colorado.
Nope.
Florida.
Mm-mm.
New York.
No.
Texas.
No.
I don't know.
Arizona is number 1, Indiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Alabama. And funny thing is, that last list we had, like New York was number 1, California was number 2, Hawaii was number 3. They're all on the worst part of this particular list. So obviously,
who comes up with these lists?
You know what? They sell them magazines, brother, from Petable. Check it out. I was just happy to see Alabama in the top 6 at anything. I thought it was great.
Other than illiteracy.
Exactly. I think a lot of it has to do, obviously, with we do have a lot of dog parks here. We have a lot of areas you can take them down now and do the walk downtown. They got pet parks downtown. Did you realize that under the overpass? You know that little area you walk down there? You can actually just let your dogs run down there. So it's actually pretty cool. So I like that.
Very cool.
All right. info@tonycurryradio.net. info@tonycurryradio.net. We'll get into this Guardian story here in a second. But Bill and Tusk. Calusa said, Dr. Rab, Tony, I love your show. Listen every week. What does my dog think when he watches me and my wife be intimate?
Ooh.
Now, I will say I did a little research on this, not from the intimate standpoint, but arousing 67% of adults say they do not allow their pets in the bedroom when they're intimate with each other. And I'm one of those guys. I don't need the distraction. I don't need someone watching me. I don't need barking. I don't need anything. So that's the bedroom is where the man and the wife are there. But so a lot of people kind of feel the same way, but evidently Bill doesn't have a problem with it. But what is his dog thinking when he's watching that? Because I know when I wrestle with my 15-year-old son, my dogs go crazy. I'm wrestling, right? I'm jumping on top of him. We're wrestling. It's a little different, but I can imagine what an animal thinks.
Yeah, he's probably wondering why that guy's hurting that woman so bad.
You think? It is interesting.
I guess it depends on you know, how they get the job done.
Exactly.
Hey, you know, maybe the dog's thinking, you know, if you went into doggy style here, it'd probably work out pretty well.
That's Dr. Rabbit said that, not Tony. Oh, Curry, you may be onto something. It is really interesting though. If you ever catch him, because obviously if you're meeting someone for the first time, and you're consummating the relationship and they have an animal and they don't care if the animal's on the bed, that's something you're going to have to deal with. But I know a lot of people aren't really into that. Spiffy, speaking of relationships, in Wetumpka, says, love the show. He is dating a girl. He's been dating her for about 5 months. He went to her house for the first time, and she had 9 cats. And he said there wasn't a moment in time where he was sitting down and something wasn't jumping on his lap or something was off in his peripheral vision. He said it was kind of uncomfortable, but he really likes this woman. He kind of said, hey, from now on, let's just meet at my house. And she was cool with it. He said, at what number is a good number to have cat or dog wise before it starts to get weird?
I mean, I think it depends on the person.
Nine's too much, right? Nine's too many.
Personally, I would not have nine cats.
Would you date a woman with nine cats?
No, because I don't want nine cats. And when I dated someone, I never really casually dated. Like if I knew that I wasn't going to be in it for like forever, then I would end the relationship.
Attaboy.
And so since I don't personally want nine cats, I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who has nine cats. That person would not be for me.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. Well, in this particular case too, it sounds like he didn't know she had nine cats until he actually went over to her house for the first time. Like they've been dating, he's like, I'm crazy about her and she's perfect. And then he gets over there and she's got nine cats. He's like, why didn't you tell me? She's like, what's the big deal? They're cats. And
if she's that perfect, then just stay with her. I mean, because there's always like that tipping point, you know? And just because I don't want nine cats doesn't mean that he doesn't want nine cats, you know? So I wouldn't let the number of animals scare me off if that's not something that I worried about. But I don't want nine cats because I don't want 10 litter boxes. That's how many litter boxes you are supposed to have with the nine cats. And so I would need to have a part-time job so I could come home and take care of 10 litter boxes.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get psychological here for a minute, because you see a lot of different people with a lot of different numbers of pets that come into the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. I've been around people that love animals, and it's their job. They've worked for TIRS, they work for PETA, they work for the ASPCA, whatever. And I get that. I understand that. It's funny because you see a lot of people that work at the pound, but they don't have a dog because they see dogs. You know what it is? It's like a kindergarten teacher having nine kids. They're like, they have 20 every day. They don't want nine kids. They want to get away from that. And I understand that. But psychologically speaking, what does it say about a person that cannot not pick up a stray? Like, I mean, they're driving down the interstate and they're seeing a dog with no collar and they're pulling off the side of the road. They could be heading to vacation. They could be going to their mother's house. We're picking that animal up. And next thing you know, they've got, like my neighbor, six or seven dogs. They got a blind dog. They got a three-legged dog. They got an old dog. They got a pup. And I'm like, it's just mass chaos. Does that say anything psychologically about a person, or is it just say they're an animal lover?
I just think they have a big heart, you know, and they are the type of personality that wants to care for something and, you know, be sure that, the welfare of things are taken care of. Now, I mean, there might be, I don't know, maybe there is something, you know, in them. Maybe that person wasn't cared for the way that they should have been. And so because of that, they're going to be, you know, sure that they take care of anything that comes in their path because they don't want that living thing to go through what they went through.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe it's just simply they have a loving, caring heart. But you know, the people that I have known that have a lot of, pick up a lot of strays or have a lot of fosters or adopted dogs, they're just really sweet people. And they just can't bear the thought of something out there being neglected, you know?
Yeah. And I totally agree with you. I don't know a person, including my neighbor, that is not just absolutely sweet beyond any comparison because they love animals. But as another person in that relationship, if you're going to date somebody like that, you need to realize where their heart is because you're probably going to be playing second fiddle a lot.
Yeah. And that's okay. You're going to be, Yeah. Or you're going to be asked to have that same type of personality.
Yeah.
You know, and that might not be something that person wants to do. They may not have that personality and that's okay. But, you know, you got to be careful and know what the expectations are.
Yeah. And if she's got eight dogs and cats and you have eight dogs and cats and you hook up, don't get married in Tennessee.
That's the Brady Bunch. That's the yeah,
that is that,
maybe
that,
it's
that
the Boxer it. Bunch. Let's enter maybe no, no doubt. The Bulldog Bunch.
info@tonycurryradio.net. This is Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Ed's Pet World down in Homewood for nearly 50 years. They've got fantastic exotic pets, and Seth's does a wonderful job. His toy closet. Check out his toy closet. He's got all kinds of unboxed stuff. Legos, the whole nine yards. It's unbelievable. 879-1331. Tiffany in Louisville says, this is a great question. Can you genetically alter an animal so it'll have a certain fur pattern, like a zebra? She's been watching these cat videos, you know, cats with mustaches and their eyes are all black. They got the bandit cat. They got the cats more than dogs because it seems like their faces could have really cool patterns. She said, is there any way to genetically alter your animal without obviously painting it? But can you do that?
Well, I don't know about dogs and cats, but I mean, I'm pretty sure you could do that in a person. I think you could alter eye color and hair color and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know that you can alter, you can pick genders. I think we can do that. But the thing about dog coat color and coat pattern, mm-hmm. is it is not just as straightforward as human hair color.
Yeah.
There are diluted genes, and that gets really convoluted and diluted, you know, as the name would tell you. It's not just a simple, straightforward, you know, Puget Square like we did when you're in sixth grade or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, dominant and recessive, and you can, you know, figure it out by doing this little square. So, I don't know that is a possibility. And if it is, it is not something that would be easily done.
All right. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart. I want to read a portion of an article from The Guardian. It made me angry to read it, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it. It is broad brushing for sure, but I do read some articles. They have some great articles with rock and rollers. It's kind of like a Rolling Stone kind of thing.
That's where I've seen it. I've seen a lot of Guardian articles where it talks about, you know, music and movies and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
At the end of last year, the state of New York banned pet stores from selling cats, dogs, or rabbits. The state wants to encourage pet stores to work with shelters rather than puppy mills to get animals adopted. With any luck, other states will follow. In her story, the ones who walk away from O'Mellas, Ursula de Quin, described a society where the joy of its citizens depended upon the abominable misery of a single child immured in a dungeon, a.k.a. a pet. Pet ownership is bad for pets. The animals are harmed from the outset, regardless of whether they're sourced from puppy mills, the wild, or artesian and inbreeders. Often African gray parrots and other exotics are captured from the habitats, and many die en route to the market. Puppy mills are plagued by high mortality rates for the young, while mothers are kept perpetually pregnant until they're discarded. Pedigree animals whose genetics are equivalent to the offspring of siblings are often plagued by health problems during their truncated lives. Other harms may similarly cut a pet's life short. Dogs are often hit by vehicles, fall out of those vehicles, or bake in them. The equivalent of 6% of American cats and dog population, 8 million animals, are abandoned at shelters every year, half of whom are then killed. In some cities, the number of new shelter pets has soared as people give up their pandemic pets. Many animals survive this war of attrition but lead lives of loneliness. First of all, I just want to get your thoughts on that article. Obviously, I know which direction you're going to go because you deal with a lot of people that obviously take care of their animals. And I do think that pets, animals, dogs, and cats bring an enormous amount of pleasure to us humans, but we also bring an enormous amount of pleasure to them. But your thoughts?
Man, I do. Like, the first thing that popped into my head with this article is we live in a broken world. And that's unfortunate, but that's the world that we live in. And if you were to say, for all of those reasons, we're not going to have pets anymore, then I would say, okay, well, let's look at humans.
Yes.
Because how many people devote their lives to stop sex trafficking? Mm-hmm. You know, how many children are abandoned or neglected or beaten? You know, because if we're going to say, okay, we're not going to have pets because all of these bad things happen, well, then we should be saying, okay, no one reproduce anymore. No one have any more humans because look at all these terrible things that humans are doing.
I agree.
And, you know, there's bad people in the world, and that's the world that we live in. And it's terrible. But, you know, to say that we're not going to have pets anymore because all of these bad things happen, that's not going to fix anything.
You know, I think that the same person probably could have said we shouldn't have zoos. I think zoos are wonderful. And I've been to a million aquariums. I've been to a million zoos. And I think it's super important that we get to know our animal kingdom as much as possible. I'm the one that's watching all the National Geographic wildlife shows. I absolutely love them. And I know they're out in the wild. But I mean, when we have them in captivity, we can get to learn these animals better. And a lot of times we can save their extinction. So I totally agree with you. Recently, the German government, I don't know if you saw this story, and it was 2 years ago, but they just brought it up again last week. The German government is now mandating a 1 hour daily walk for dogs, or you pay a stiff fine because many were not getting enough attention or exercise. You have to walk your dog at least twice a day for a half an hour a clip. Is this a good idea?
I mean, I think it's a great idea. I think that the people, well, okay, let me back up. A government mandate is usually not something that I'm going to be in favor of. So let me back up and say, like, can we just keep the government out of it somehow, some way, and just all walk our dogs 30 minutes a day?
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be where the way that I would prefer to do it. Because I do think that if you go out and you walk your dog for twice a day for 30 minutes, it's going to be great for the dog, but it's also going to be great for the person.
Yeah.
They're going to have a little break from all the noise of their life. They're going to get out. They're going to clear their heads. They're going to get a little exercise. So yes, I'm going to say it is a great idea to walk your dog for 30 minutes a day, but I don't think it's a great idea for the government to mandate it.
I'd ask the same question in the United States. Why don't we mandate that humans must walk a half an hour a day?
Yeah, that might be more beneficial. I mean,
you want to talk about our healthcare and everything else? I mean, oh, by the way, take your dog with you. I mean, I know someone came up with an idea a few years ago about, you know, actually tying your exercise into what your healthcare costs should be. And certainly we'd like to see a deviation of how expensive it is in this country if you're a healthy person. Because if you're a super healthy person, you're probably not using your healthcare as much as anyone else, but you're still paying the price outside smoking cigarettes or using dip or medications. For the most part, we don't always pay the same thing, but I agree with you. At first I thought this is a novel idea. This is a very good idea, but we'd like to think that you're walking your half an hour twice a day is a little much. I mean, if I'm walking my dogs 3 or 4 days a week, it's a winning week. That half an hour on a pop, that's pretty much. And again, who's going to execute these mandates? So yeah,
exactly. How are you going to follow up with that?
You don't. You just live and you move out of Germany if you have a dog and move to Tennessee and get married and divorce. He's Dr. Rab Stewart. It is, of course, Rossbridge Animal Hospital at Rossbridge Vet, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Tell people how they can find you. I know you've been super busy. Springtime's right around the corner. Dogs are getting out. They're getting through the snow and they're getting ready to run. Tell them how they can find you.
You can find us on Facebook, Rossbridge Animal Hospital. You can email us, rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com, or you can call us at 205-208-0301.
Brought to you by Ed's Pet World, exotic pets. They've got birds. They've got gray Amazons. They got snakes. And they'll do everything they can to make sure that you take care of your animal. It lives a wonderful, fruitful life. They got anaconda. They got everything down there. Spiders. I get all my fish down there. I love Seth. I love Angie. They do a wonderful job. And, of course, Seth's toy closet is down there, too. Kids love that joint. It's been open for nearly 50 years down there in Homewood. They just redid the streets, so there's plenty of parking. Go down there and check out toys. Seth's toy closet. It's unbelievable. He's got all kinds of unboxed stuff from Battlestar Galactica to Star Wars stuff. It's unbelievable. Check it all out and go down and check out Ed's Pet World, 879-1331. Until next week, my friend, I appreciate you.
Thanks so much, Tony. Talk to you then.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.